Our scripture reading comes from Colossians 4, verses 2 to 6, on prayer. You can find that in your Bibles on page 1235. Colossians 4, 2 to 6. Devote yourselves to prayer, be watchful and thankful, and pray for us, too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
In 2018, Bethel Church, all of us, adopted a vision for ministry. And we said this will be what will give us some direction about the things that we feel that God is calling us to be and to do. We called it the delighting vision because we felt called to say that we live to delight in our God, and that we are called to delight in our neighbors, and that we are blessed to delight in the fellowship of our congregation. This vision that was adopted is not a dead document. It's not just something that was written up to be put on a shelf and be forgotten. The leaders of our ministries refer to it to say, how do we need to proceed and what are our priorities to be? And that every council meeting, the chair of council says, let's take a look at our vision and assess how we are doing in fulfilling it. It's an important part of our life together in Christ. But as a church, we're aware that that vision isn't something that's cast in concrete. We say as the situation changes, as new opportunities arise, as things happen, we need to adapt and consider what is it that God is calling us to do today. Even today, there's conversation where leaders are going to be looking at the vision and say, doesn't need to be tweaked, doesn't need to be adjusted in light of the new reality that we face. Well, today we are here at church and we are in the middle of a series of sermons. This is actually the midpoint of our journey talking about the spiritual disciplines, those things that God, we feel, calls us to do that will increase our spiritual strength so that we have indeed the ability to do all these things that God is calling us to do. We want to grow in our understanding of and practice of the spiritual disciplines. And we hope and expect that by thinking about them and talking about them, we will practice the disciplines more and as a result become spiritually stronger, braver, happier. That will be more effective in the callings that God has given us. Now, looking at that vision of ours, that delighting vision, I noticed something I thought kind of interesting. We talked together 2 weeks ago about the discipline of Scripture, about how we have to have the Bibles in our hands, that we need to read it, that we need to go to it. If we are going to be strong, we've got to be people of the Word. And last week, we talked about the discipline of gratitude, that gratitude is a discipline, that we can make a decision to be grateful and work at living a life of gratitude, Today, we talk about prayer, but in the vision, only the discipline of prayer is explicitly stated. The others are there. The others are there, but they're more understood. That is part of the background. It's one of some of the assumptions. But we said in our vision that prayer was something that was so significant and so much a need for us to grow in that we are going to name it and explicitly put it right there in our vision. It says in the delighting vision, Bethel Church commits itself to the discipline of prayer. We all read this. We all voted on it. We all approved it. And I thought it was wonderful talking to the GEMS counselors. GEMS is the girls' club of our church. The focus of their study time in GEMS is prayer. Wonderful. And then the Friendship Club, under the leadership of Rob Lehman, I learned and I saw that what they are talking about every week, hey, Friendship Club people, right? That you are talking about prayer. Isn't that right, Arthur? You bet. So it's so fitting that our GEMS and our Friendship Club and we as a whole congregation are looking at the discipline of prayer. Our passage of Scripture today, Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6, says that to be a praying community that pleases the Lord, that we should have three characteristics, three things that say, if you are doing this, then you will indeed be a people of prayer. The first thing is, we need to be devoted to the practice of prayer. You know, that it's a priority for us. As God's people say, well, prayer isn't something, oh, if things are really falling apart, if I've got some bad news, if somebody in my family is sick, well, then I'll pray. And no, we have to be devoted to the practice of prayer. That means that it is part of our routine. It's a priority. We will not go through the day without taking time to pray because it is a priority. What do? You wake up in the morning, stretch, get out of bed, have breakfast, brush your teeth. You go to work, you go to school. Those are all the things that we do. But we should be able to say in that list of everyday experiences that we take time to pray. It should be as important and so regular that it's like eating, that it's like breathing, like it's like waking up. What we do is we take time to pray, devoted. Second thing is, it says in the text that we have to be watchful. The fact that we can pray, the reality that we have permission to pray, is part of the privilege that God has given us as His people. That we can count on our blessed, that we can say that our God is good to us, that we can say that the reason we pray is because by the grace of God, we have been transformed into the children of God. We know what's going on in the world, and we pray informed. We are watching what is happening in our world, and it influences our prayers. It shapes our prayers. And third, we are indeed thankful. Thankful that we can pray, thankful that we have permission to pray, thankful that we can count our blessings, and thankful for our status as indeed the children of God. Be devoted, be watchful, and be thankful. If we are those three things, we will be a people of prayer. Now, the Apostle Paul, who wrote Colossians is one of these letters. It's called part of the prison epistles, and you kind of got a real strong clue about that in the text as Donna's reading it. As she said, quoting the apostle, "This gospel for which I am in chains," in poor Paul, had been arrested for sharing the gospel, was in jail in chains, and in that context, he wrote this letter to the church in Colossae. And he did this calling them to be thankful and watchful and devoted to prayer. Now, even with his remarkable gifts, and when you read the book of Acts, the Acts contains a lot of the story of Paul's ministry. And as you read the other letters of Paul, and there's parts of the story of his life and ministry that come out, it's remarkable that despite his tremendous gifts, he still asks them to pray for blessing on the ministry that God gave him. He said, pray that there be open doors for the message that he was bringing. And then he went on to say, pray, please, everyone, please pray that I may present the gospel clearly. Paul was a very, very learned man, strong in the law. He understood the Old Testament backwards and forwards. He knew Jesus and he understood the relevance and the importance of Jesus and what Jesus had done. And still, he said, even though I am eloquent, even though I am educated, even though I am a recognized apostle of the church, I still need you to pray that I can speak the gospel clearly. Well, if the Apostle Paul can ask the church to pray for these two things, surely it would be good for us to ask the Lord for those same things. We should be praying together that there be open doors for the message that we are bringing as the Church of Jesus Christ. Here we are, on the border of Waterdown and Burlington, in this age of prosperity, but also in an age of rapidly increasing secularization, where so many say the gospel is irrelevant or a fantasy or untrue, that we have to bring that message out. And surely we should be praying that in a context where so many doors seem to be slamming shut on the gospel, that we pray for open doors so that we can walk through and bring in some light. That we should be asking the Lord for the capacity to go into all these tough situations, and our context is a tough situation for the gospel. Pray for the church, pray for yourself, and pray for each other, that we can speak that gospel, which is a simple gospel. You don't need to be a PhD theologian to be able to say what the gospel is. You don't need to be a genius to understand how we have been saved and now live for Christ. It's pretty simple, even as it is the deepest thing that you could ever say. So, from that, we can see in the text that there are these things that we should indeed be praying specifically for. We should be praying that we are wise. Pray that we be wise in our life in Christ. When people don't rely on the Lord, trust on their own understanding, allow prejudices or ignorance or arrogance to color their interactions with people, then they are not being wise. And when people are not wise, the gospel and the kingdom is diminished in the eyes of others. So we need to be wise. We need to grow in wisdom. And that's why 2 weeks ago we said we need to be people of the Word, because it's by hearing the Lord and studying what He has revealed to us that we will find that deeper wisdom. We need to be wise. We need to be brave. Courageously taking advantage of the opportunities that the Lord provides. In a society such as ours, where we know that if we stand up and say, yes, I am a follower of Christ, yes, I do believe that Jesus died and rose again, and I believe that it's important for everyone to know Christ and to experience that blessing, people will say, you're a dummy. How can you believe that? Those old-fashioned medieval superstitions, they'll say. I thought you were smarter than that. And therefore, it is so easy for us to say, I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. I'm not going to be the nail that sticks up for somebody to hammer me down. I'm just going to let it slide. Let the opportunity to speak a word of wise truth leave. But we should be praying that we have the courage that the Lord provides. We should be praying that we are gracious. Because there is one way to speak the truth and there's another. This is very much related to wisdom, because if we speak in a way that is unkind or arrogant, then we also are less effective. I came across a quote. I didn't write it down. I'm just going from my memory on this one. But it was a quote from Madeleine L'Engle, the author, the Christian author. And in it she said, and I put it on my Facebook, so some of you have seen it, right? It said something along the lines of, people don't come to know Christ through us because we put down their religion or beat them up or are arrogant. Instead, they are drawn to Christ because they see in us a light that is so beautiful that they long to find the source of it. Well, that's grace. If we live gracefully and graciously so that people see us, know us, and observe in us that exquisite kindness that mirrors the goodness of Christ, they say, surely I want to be like you. We need to pray that we are such kind and gracious people to others, to ourselves within the fellowship. Then we will be successful in ministry and effective servants of God. Pray for the grace of God to be experienced all around us. And we need to pray that we are mindful of the context that we find ourselves in and say and do what is appropriate at the proper time to say and do it. There are times when it's simply better to be quiet. And there are lots of times when it is right for us to speak. There are times when we speak one way and times when we should speak another. And it really depends on the context that we are in. We need to pray that we understand the times that we are in and know what we are called to do in each of those situations. That's a big thing, and we need to pray. So, lots of reasons for us to pray. And I hope you say, yeah, that's right. Thank you, Pastor Bruce, because it's true. We do need to be people of prayer. The question is, how do you do it? What is a way that we can pray so that prayer becomes part of our routine? So it's not just the same old thing that we do and finally we just kind of get bored of the way we pray and then we stop praying. We don't want that. So here's some different ideas on how you can pray to keep prayer fresh and dynamic within your life. One thing I would suggest is the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer was that prayer that Jesus gave. Remember, he was asked by his disciples, Lord, teach us to pray. And he said, okay. And he spoke the Lord's Prayer, which has become so important to the life of God's people. And people use the Lord's Prayer. They say, I'm going to pray. I'm going to say the words of the Lord's Prayer. That's great. Also, but remember that the Lord's Prayer was not given by Christ to be, this is the only prayer you ever say. Instead, the Lord's Prayer is a template. It's the things that you should include in your prayers, that you should pray adoration to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. We want to be you praised. You know, thy kingdom come. We pray for the advancement of the gospel in our world. Thy will be done. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those that sin against us. You know, we should be praying confession and we should be asking for the capacity to be forgiving people. Pray about that. Give us this day our daily bread. We need food and we need things for life. Pray for them. All these are really wonderful ways. Now, the Heidelberg Catechism, which is one of the documents that the church has said, this is a faithful explanation of the Bible's teaching, contains within it the Lord's Prayer and an explanation of each single part of it. And it's a really beautiful and helpful tool to understand some of the deeper dimensions of what Jesus is asking us to pray. And I would recommend to you that you look up, you know, your copy of the Heidelberg Catechism, which I'm sure you got right beside your bedside. Well, read that. Question and answer 116 through 129, if you wanted to know. And use that. It's interesting that the Heidelberg Catechism, that the answer, so it says, what does give us this day our daily bread mean? And the answer is a prayer. It's a prayer that explains and expands. So you can use the Heidelberg Catechism as your prayer. It's really beautiful. Do it. Another way that you can pray to keep things fresh is to use the delighting vision of our congregation. You know, the different categories to delight in God. Lord, help us to delight in you and talk to God about that. Why he is worthy of our delight. And imagine with God what you can do to further the delight in God around you. You delight in our neighbors. Well, pray for our neighbors. The people that are in your work, in your school, in your building, in your community, and say, I'm going to pray. I know that there are these needs in my community, that the lady down the hall, that she lost her husband last year and she's still pretty sad. I know that this kid in my class, that his mom is really sick, and I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to thank God for the things I see, the good things, for the way that our society is able to provide health care to people and that there are hospitals where you can get good care. I'm going to delight in that. And then pray a prayer of delighting in our fellowship and pray for the church. Pray that we be united. Pray that we be effective. Pray that we be a place of deep fellowship. And make that your prayer. That is a good way for you to pray. You can pray to God in a conversation. It's one of the things that other churches have said to me, or the leaders of other churches, especially ones that are really highly liturgical, they say, one thing I admire about your church is that your people talk to God. That they, it's like there's a sense where we walk up to the throne and we look up at our God and say, Father, let's talk. Let me tell you, Father, what I am grateful for. Let me tell you, dear Lord, the things that I'm worried about. And these are things that I would really appreciate if you could intervene. And I lay that before you. People say to me, I love the way your people can pray. Well, build on that. Tell him, our Lord. Tell him all the things you're happy for and sad about and rejoicing for and worried. Right? Talk to him. We need to make prayer into a reflex. Now, what I mean by that, I'm thinking about the passage where Paul, writing to the church, says, pray without ceasing. And I used to think, what does that mean? That means you got to be sitting there on your knees and your hands folded and your eyes closed like forever? They know. It means that prayer becomes an automatic thing within us. You're driving down the QEW and the traffic starts to slow. And you think, there must be an accident up ahead. What do? You pray. You don't close your eyes because you're driving. And you say, dear Lord, I think there's trouble ahead, and whoever is in that place of difficulty, keep them safe. It just comes to you. You're in the mall, and you see a lady that's got a kid who's really badly misbehaving. And you can see how frustrated she is, and she's getting angry. You just say a prayer in your heart, saying, Lord, be with that lady and calm that kid down, and let this be a good day for them. It's not rocket science. If we discipline ourselves, that prayer becomes a part of our day, a part of every moment. That we understand ourselves to be so living in the presence of God that when we see something or think something, the automatic reflex is to talk to God about it. We read in the paper, and in Adriana's prayer, she talked about Africa and all those locusts, which is apparently just a nightmare, a plague of biblical proportions. You read that and you pray, you breathe out a prayer, Lord, have mercy. So why pray? Sometimes people say, I pray because I want stuff. I want money, or I want success, or I want healing for my loved one, or whatever. It's like we go to God like he's Santa Claus, thinking that he's the one who just gives presents. And if we ask him, he'll give them to us. Well, a better reason to pray, and we talk to God, and sometimes it does happen that God is waiting for us to ask so that he will give. I mean, I believe that's true. But that's not the primary reason we pray. We pray so that we have a relationship with God. How can you have a relationship with somebody that you never talk to? What kind of a relationship is that? Unhealthy, to say the very least. Dysfunctional at best. We need to pray so that we are connected well to God. Be a person that has that kind of relationship with him. As I said to the kids before they left for Sunday school, it's the flip side of Bible reading. God speaks, in the Scripture to us. And we respond in prayer. And the dialogue takes place through Scripture and prayer. It's in that back and forth conversation that there's the seedbed of spiritual growth and blessing. So, may it be that we are a congregation of prayer and that we grow stronger in the discipline of it. Because the Lord will hear us praying and He will bless us indeed. Amen.